Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Can you take it from here? I'm busy.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
We had a 10-minute conversation with Michael Fitzpatrick yesterday afternoon, and I'm trying to chop it down.
Yes. Yes. Fitz from Fitz and the Tantrums. You might know him like that. If you hand clap.
Yeah,
have you been in a stadium lately where they've played that song
or
a commercial? Yes.
You got
it. Very excited.
I had a friend text me. He heard us mentioning this, and he thought they were in. I don't think they're in the state yet. I'm guessing they either came in last night or maybe they flew in Chicago or are busing in right now.
Yeah.
But they are Riverside tomorrow is the first leg of this winter tour, which is awesome. But he's like, are they in studio? I have a crush on Noel. And I want to watch through the window.
Sorry.
In the frigid temperatures, he thought if they were in live, he was going to be an audience member on the lawn.
I just want to watch through the window. No, I'm sorry.
But we were so stoked to be able to talk to Fitz of the Tantrums. And as I worked my way through, he answered everything.
He was so kind. Yes, so kind. Spent some time with us. I believe he was in California at the time, so I don't know when.
I think so. That's where they're based.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But really, a really cool experience. I was excited when we got the message from their people that, hey, Fitz of the Tantrums would like to talk to you. And it's a really great opportunity to talk to the artists that we actually play on.
Oh, for sure. We don't get those opportunities all the time. You think it's like we're a connection away from any. No. It's actually few and far between anymore that these calls and interviews happen.
Or that artists want to take the time to talk to people and talk about their work and talk about their show. So it's just a really cool opportunity. I was excited and I was telling my family that, like, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I hope that the interview goes well. And I'm kind of like nervous, excited. And my daughter went to school and like bragged to her friends about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, guess who my mom's talking to tomorrow? And her friends are like, what? Huh? You know hand clap? Oh, they know hand clap.
Yes.
That's really cool. She's like, so did it go well?
You got daughter cred.
I think I got mom cool points.
That's
which
great.
Are few and far between for both kids at this point. I'm in this firm not cool column.
We had a big friend dinner last night with all kids, and I'm watching the exact same thing transpire. I will give the families credit. Phones, middle of the table.
Nice.
First thing you do, phones in. And then that eliminates most of the distraction, but then they get antsy and fidgety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's like hair
pulling.
After
a while, that I'm like, and I want to talk to my adult friends.
Yes.
Like, here. Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do.
Quit bugging your sister
a
and
little bit.
Grab this.
Yeah. So Fitz in the Tantrums. Riverside Casino tomorrow night, as you'll hear in the interview, very limited seats. But when we brought him on the telephone yesterday about noon, we looked at the seating chart and there were a smattering. So grab those seats now. We'll see you down there. We're going to be down at the show coming up on Thursday night. But at least at 7:05, I think we'll bring you some portions of that interview and then kind of sprinkle those through the morning.
Yes.
As we go. We covered a lot of topics, both musically, the team bonding experience of being in a band, how they don't have a lead guitar.
Well, think about how long they've been together as a group. My gosh.
I think he said almost 16, 18 years.
I mean, working in a band, that's like being in a committed relationship.
He said it's a marriage.
Yes.
There's fights, there's hugs, right? It's just, you and I have that. I mean, it's once you're intimate to that component, right? On
and
a work or
five egos too. Like
very creative. Whew. Yeah. So you're going to love all of the answers.
And there's such a thing as, you know, making a bet. And you have to stick to the bet, right?
Right.
Totally.
A gentleman's agreement.
A gentleman's agreement. One gentleman named Larry. Larry Shea is a golf bettor.
Okay.
He makes bets about golf.
Meaning like I would make a bet on a football game, so things I'm watching on television or while he's on the course and I'm playing against him?
Prior to.
Okay, got it.
Prior to. He likes to watch professional golf, and he set himself up not with a money problem here. He's not a gambler. He just likes to make bets with his friends. And this one was crazy. He said that if pro golfer Scottie Scheffler won a golf tournament, he would eat nothing but Wendy's chili for a month.
Oh my God.
He's like, there is Zero chance of it happening, folks. Scotty is not going to win. Well, Scotty won. Scotty won the tournament that they were betting on. And so Larry has to hold himself to his word for the next month. He's starting this week and goes until February 25th.
Every meal is chili
from
Wendy's? Breakfast,
lunch, and dinner. Yes.
My stomach's turning just a little bit.
Okay, you just judged a chili cook-off last week.
I had 16 little tiny cups.
All in one.
Yes, that was too much. This is every meal through the day and every day for 30 days.
Only nutrition your body will receive is chili.
Now, it is packed with protein. We'll go with that.
Yes. However, he really shot himself in the foot here because he also said no cheese, no crackers, just the chili.
Why would you do that?
All of the best parts of chili you're not allowing?
Chili's for the toppings, man.
Oh my gosh, you're a monster. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner will just be Wendy's chili for one Mr. Larry Shea.
If his friends love him, they will let him get Frosties with every single order, right?
Please. This is madness.
So at least you're looking forward to something at the end of that meal.
Yes, yes, yes. You make it through yet another bite of the same chili. Oh, my man. Why did you do this to you?
Ugh. I cannot wait to talk to him day 29.
Yeah.
Right?
First week, he's fine. He's like, surprisingly,
he'll power through.
Chili for breakfast is kind of good. It's underrated, he said.
All right.
He says that week one.
Well, yeah.
What is he going to
say? Come see me in 27 more days.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I know you're not this is not your chosen profession, but you are just weirdly good at dog training.
I have a connection with dogs.
You do. I don't know if it's the
Shannon,
beard.
Like, you like to rouse them up. I'm like, no, I love them. I love dogs.
You get, I mean, the same with children. You get down on their level.
Yes.
You look them in the eye. And
eye contact is a very important component to both children and dogs.
They trust you. They listen to you. It's weird.
Sense of command. You just have to kind of own it.
So I'm going to pick your brain.
Be the alpha.
Because I've got a little bit of a dog issue. I perhaps have indulged in setting my dog up with some bad habits. That's the bad habit. The
howling?
Howling, barking. He's doing this thing. Where my backyard abuts many a backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one house that actually has a dog, and they're like dog friends, you know?
Right.
Did you grow up with... No, you didn't have neighbors across the street.
But I get it. Do they like run the fence?
Yes.
Yes.
They run and play together when they both are outside. But my dog, he's stupid but smart. He's figured out that if he barks, it'll alert my neighbors that he's outside. And then maybe they'll let Blanco outside.
Sure.
And Blanco gets to play with Rex. So he tries this and it works during the daytime. But now he's moved on to doing it when I let him out at 4 a.m.
Oh, no.
Which is a time nobody wants to hear a dog barking outside. No, no, Rexy, no.
So, ouch.
Yeah. I'm like, I have to sit here and watch him because the minute he starts like, get in here.
Barking's tough. We have not broken Roland of this. If you are standing at our door or our window, he wants to kill you. At least that's the sound, right?
If you're entering the home.
If you're entering the home. So I don't know how to break a bark. That's tricky. I know there are ways. Shock collars work.
I know, but I don't want to do that.
With dogs, you reward the behavior you want. But how do you reward silence?
Yes.
That's tricky.
You had a good quiet potty. Good job. Good job.
I guess try to reinforce the command like no bark or quiet or something before you let him out. And then I guess if he barks, you got to give him a little flick or something. I don't know.
I know.
That's tricky.
Like, dude, knock it off. We're going to be that neighbor.
Ugh. It's because that is a condition. He's learned it,
mm-hmm.
which is also awesome.
Which
that
also,
he knows that.
And now it's like team training, right? Their dog has learned to do it to let my dog out, and my dog's doing it now to let their dog out.
Like,
oh, they trained us.
You want them to do that too, but it's like between the hours of 10 a.m. and 9 p.m., you're fine.
I love that you guys are friends during the day.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So tough. Okay. What did I say? It's an obligation and an honor.
Yes, okay. Something to that. My obligation is an honor.
So I take you back last Wednesday or Thursday. I'm in Washington, my hometown. My OG community theater is 50 years old. To where I cut my teeth.
Yeah. You are sending me pictures of you.
My cast photos, yes.
As the stranger who came to dinner.
And those are the man who came to dinner.
No, I'm sorry, the man.
And those are lovely from a nostalgic standpoint, a little ego stroking, right? But you run into people you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
One of which was my high school theater teacher, Mrs. Gallagher.
Oh, blast from the past.
And I've stayed in touch with her for a long time because she's been very important when it comes to the new Performance Center. I go down and I host events for her and I do improv and things like that. Well, in the course of conversation, it came up that her husband was in hospice, which I knew he wasn't doing well. So that was end of last week. He passed on Saturday.
Oh, man.
The phone call I got Monday twice and then again movie theater yesterday is her. And the reason they're calling is I am hosting a Hawkeye-themed celebration of life.
Oh, boy.
On Sunday at my school's Performing Arts Center, it is the most laid-back celebration of life I've ever seen.
That's really cool.
It's everything is to his wishes.
Yes.
There's a few scripture readings. He's got a few people speaking, but people are encouraged to come in black and gold. I'm debating dressing like Hayden Fry,
okay,
which I think would work.
I think would work, yes.
And then, I don't know the policy, because I am technically on school property. Mm-hmm. I want to wheel out a cooler and start the celebration of life by cracking a Busch Light.
Oh, you have to. You have
Doesn't
to.
Doesn't that work well?
Yeah.
Because everybody in that room, though in Hawkeye gear, still feels the weight of the room.
Right.
And you have to get everybody to just collectively go,
exactly.
You're still going to have feelings. Some sad, some great. Family for sure. I know it's going to be tough. But if I can just take a little air out of that tire.
Right.
I think that's my role that day.
And weirdly, a lot of times when you're in, saying goodbye to someone, that those celebrations of life, you want to laugh. You
yes,
want to look back.
You have
on the,
to.
Yes. So I think that that's a good idea.
And thankfully, it was also odd because when I finally made contact with her on Monday, she's like, I'm sitting at the funeral home and we would like for you to basically MC this thing. I'm like, oh, she's like, I need you to MC something.
And you've MC'd many a thing.
I'm like, you need me? I'm like, what? Dick's funeral. Okay, let's do it. You bet. He and my dad were great friends. Yeah. They would go on fishing trips together. The families were friends. They all helped raise money for this new auditorium. So my job on Sunday is to host a Hawkeye-themed celebration of life.
You got this. You're perfect for this.
Hayden white pants and all.
Yes.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
What's that old term for newspapers? The gray lady, is that right?
I have never heard that. I was going to say the papes.
Well, it's Newsies time. The new owner of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, which is Minnesota-based Adams Multimedia, announcing their new regional president and publisher. His name is Richard Green. He has won a Pulitzer Prize for editing. Green's been in the media industry since 15. He has served in multiple...
Age 15?
Since he was 15 years old.
Or the year 15.
Just 1-5.
He's a vampire.
No, not 1815, not 7, just 15. He served in multiple positions, including editor, vice president of news, and president of publisher of the Des Moines Register. He's seen it all.
Wow.
He has been there forever. No wonder he won the Pulitzer Prize.
No kidding.
He's been a part of every major news event ever since year 15. Green won his Pulitzer in 2020, working as an editor of the Courier-Journal in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome. He's back to Iowa, but welcome for the first time to Cedar Rapids. Sports Shorts! All right, I've been waiting for this announcement from the Big Ten. I knew what teams Iowa was playing in the Big Ten. They just didn't have the schedule out.
Yeah.
And we're going to relive our trip to Wisconsin last year. We're going to go to a new one this year. So okay. I wanted to see like
where
the homes
going?
And the aways. Yeah.
I would love to know where we're going.
Okay. So the home games for the Big Ten for Iowa are... Ohio State, Wisconsin is homecoming, Halloween.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Then Purdue and Nebraska.
Are all home.
So those are spread between October, All the way into November.
Okay, and no, the Nebraska November game is
still on a Friday. Black Friday, but everything is, you know, to be announced.
Okay.
What I find interesting is the way the scheduling set up. I think Iowa made somebody mad at the Big Ten office.
What?
So our first three games are at home, which is typical.
Yeah.
It's like Kent State or something, or Illinois State, uh-huh. And then we also play Iowa State at home. And then you and I. Then we go on the road. We kick off the Big Ten in Michigan.
Okay.
Then we come home to play Ohio State. We have to prepare for Michigan and Ohio State back to back.
Wow.
Then we fly out to Washington. Those are our first three games in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And then you don't see us back at home for a while.
We're on the road that
much? We're on a road, and then there's a bye weekend, and then we're on the road again, and I think at Minnesota, and then we're finally back.
Oh,
like, we only have one October game,
that's
I think.
Weird. Although, I felt like we got a little spoiled this past season, because I just felt like we were at home all the time.
We had actually a great schedule to work its way to try to get us to at least the Big Ten Championship.
Maybe they, like, flight, or, you know, rank who gets a good schedule versus an okay schedule.
Oh, there's a strength
schedule
of schedule
versus,
ranking, for sure. Yeah. Also, I believe the last couple of years, all Big Ten teams have been enjoying two bye weeks that's been shuffled again. Now every team just gets 1 week off in this. Ugh.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's a schedule. No word yet on when ticket prices or tickets going to be announced. We have no TV information.
Like, times?
Nope, not yet. Yesterday was just we play these people win. All right, it's Wednesday morning. Let's meet a new high school student, winner of the Mount Mercy Elevate Award. Congratulations to Emma Rood from Kennedy High School.
What do we know about Emma?
Well, according to her nomination, she is an exemplary student at Kennedy High School. She is a writer and drafting editor for Kennedy's student newspaper, The Torch.
Mm.
She's also senior captain on the dance team. From her nomination, quote, Emma is a natural leader, is kind and welcoming to everyone she meets. She's been awarded a $500 Elevate Scholarship upon enrolling in Mount Mercy. For more on Mount Mercy University and their leadership programs for your student or for you, visit mountmercy.edu. That's mtmercy.edu. Mount Mercy Elevate winner number 3, Emma Rood from Kennedy High School. Congratulations. You got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Harry Styles is back with new music and just announced a brand new world tour. He's calling it Together, Together. It includes a 30-date residency at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Saw that.
Yeah, huge, right? Well, ticket prices already through the roof. And we're just in the pre-sale area. Pre-sale people were notified that ticket prices would range anywhere between $50 to $1,182.40.
So $50
yes.
to 1,000 and numbers.
1,000. Like, if you want to get anywhere near $1,000. Seats began to sell, but then fans started noticing the pricing was changing. Starts going up just a little bit.
They were doing demand pricing in the pre-sale?
In the pre-sale.
I've never seen that before.
Not okay. Fans were getting upset. Like,
no kidding.
It's supposed to be the Together Together tour, and we can't get together because nobody can afford those tickets.
It's the bankrupt tour.
Exactly. So the pre-sale is now. The general on sale starts Friday. So I don't know if they can figure something out or if that's going to change.
Because Ticketmaster is at least publicizes now as demand grows.
Yep.
Prices will reflect that. But in my opinion, a pre-sale code like that, that ticket is locked at that price for the pre-sale moment.
Yes.
Because I'm benefiting from being a fan or having the credit card or
I
whatever.
I signed up for something. So yes.
It should not go up.
It's already expensive enough.
No
man.
Kidding.
Okay. The focus of HBO Max kind of adjusted. They went from having some children's programming to maybe just focusing on pleasing the adults. They've unloaded Sesame Street, and they also unloaded Looney Tunes. These are timeless classic characters. We can't just let them go away, right?
Now that you say that, I remember when they put that app out. I think I went back and watched some of my favorite, like the Halloween cartoons from Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, there's some classics.
But I've not been looking for them since then.
Yeah.
And I won't find them now, right?
Well, yes. They have a brand new home.
Okay.
They've been scooped up by Turner Classic Movies.
TNT.
TCM.
Well, TCM under the Turner Network Television banner. Okay.
Yeah. Starting on February 2nd, they've got 750 in all of the Looney Tunes animations. It's a 6-year deal, so they're all going to be making their way onto Turner Classic Movies.
Wait, do I need a Turner Classic Movie app now?
Oh, man. Do I have to get another streaming service?
I think you do.
Just TV.
Think you do.
No. They're like, it makes the most sense for, you know, because a lot of times those were created with a little bit, you need to explain what's going on in this cartoon.
Yeah.
At the time, this was okay.
Yes, right.
Some of them, you know, that doesn't reflect a general feeling that we all have today. So they'll be able to give those introductions and still have those classic cartoons and have that all on display. It's a good fit.
And they are classic, right?
Yes.
In the American entertainment experience, for sure.
And the merry melodies and all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me get you, I don't have like what's going to go down at the Super Bowl, but I do have just some fringe coverage. Including a new fan theory. We are getting ready for Super Bowl 60, played at Levi's Stadium, and that's kind of home to the San Francisco 49ers.
That is their home stadium, yes.
You would believe that at least one, if not both, of the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl, which is not the 49ers, would be maybe using the 49ers training facility.
That seems like it'd be close,
It'd be convenient.
49ers aren't playing.
They are not. But that won't be the case. The Patriots are going to hold their Super Bowl practice sessions at Stanford University.
Okay.
And the Seahawks will be preparing for their game at San Jose State.
I mean, honestly, the Seahawks are pretty close.
Yeah.
You could almost stay home. But San Jose State, in the Bay Area.
A little closer.
Yeah.
There's a weird theory because the 49ers facility, and here, I made you a helmet, too.
Oh, wait, let me put on my foil hat.
Get your tinfoil hat on, quick.
Okay.
It centers
the shade so the government can't read our thoughts.
The theory is about electrical substation, a substation that's adjacent to the 49ers training complex and Levi's Stadium. It's the substation theory. It suggests that prolonged exposure to electromotive force, EMF, could be contributing to all of the injuries that you're seeing on the 49ers team.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Look, George Kittle
was too close to a transformer.
That's got to be it.
Well, then why would you want to even play the game? If I was a player, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Why are we?
You got to move this game.
I don't know, but it's a theory. It's out there. And now that the teams aren't practicing at the 49ers facility, people are like, oh,
that proves
it's
it.
True. It proves it.
They go play at the stadium that's next to it.
I know. The general manager said that they are going to look into everything because it deals with the health and wellness of the players. So they'll look into it. But right now it's not really like a scientifically proven thing.
Can I also tell you that's where earthquakes come from?
Oh.
That substation.
EMFs?
EMFs generate earthquakes. Mm-hmm. Government's not telling you. I'll tell you.
Dancing Eric Hansen with a tinfoil hat on his head.
That's right.
Ya.
That's where earthquakes come from, friends.
Yeah, just a little fringe coverage.
It's a big conspiracy. Illuminati and such.
That's what we like to call.
Z's sleaze.
You can't avoid it. You walk in any grocery store, anywhere that sells a greeting card, and it's red and pink hearts everywhere. And for some people, it's like, I just have to survive the next 3 weeks.
Yes, exactly. I'm not looking forward to Valentine's Day. I don't like the holiday. Whatever your reason is, we'd love to hear you go off about it, Queen.
You say more of those words, because I said something last night in a group. I'm like, hey, just let me cook. And they're like, that doesn't work coming out of you.
No, thank you.
Don't stop cooking. Tell me more, Queen. Why people would, like, what are a variety of reasons that Valentine's Day is not their thing?
Valentine's Day, maybe it's like, oh, this is the first time I'm recently single. I'm not looking forward to it. Maybe you've just gone through a terrible breakup. Maybe it's not a romantic thing at all. I've got a Valentine. I just lost a friend. Or I've experienced a death in our family. And this is a sad time of year for me.
Weirdly, February, we see it in celebrity deaths too. You see a little bit of uptick, right?
Yeah.
We're losing people. So it, like, February has this great day of love and celebration, but for a lot of people, just the month is like, oh, it's February.
Yeah, sometimes.
Right? It's also kind of the middle of the dead of winter.
I don't want to yuck everybody's yum, but I'm personally not excited about this holiday, and that is A-OK. You are not alone.
It could be you are into 2026 into the job and you're like, you know what? I have a broken heart about my boss. I don't like where I work.
Yes.
So broken heart is up to your interpretation, but we're going to take care of five of you.
Yeah. All reasons are valid. We want to just kind of celebrate those who are not looking forward to Valentine's Day with our Broken Hearts breakfast. This is a tradition. This is year number three of doing this. We gather five lucky winners together and we have breakfast. We take our show on the road. This year, we're going to be at HEA Book Boutique.
They've got a brand new location. It's just to walk in and browse, which is awesome. Jenna's killing it as an entrepreneur. So she's covering the breakfast. She's providing some prizes. This whole thing, by the way, big partnership with Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. Not only do they want to see this get off the ground, they are also providing some jewelry.
Yes.
For our five people at our breakfast table.
And other prizes as well. We just want to kind of spoil you for the day, make you feel good. Another thing we offer, and I think it's very important, is smash therapy.
When we got this thing off the ground 3 years ago, rage rooms were kind of coming into popularity.
Yeah.
And that idea of taking out your frustration physically, like write the thing that's causing you to hate Valentine's Day or just have a broken heart, and then to metaphorically and physically smash it with a hammer. We offer that opportunity at the end of breakfast.
Yeah, and a lot of people really enjoy it.
They do. A lot of times we have to censor what they're saying, but it just, they get it off their chest. They leave that breakfast, A, feeling great.
Yeah.
B, with four new friends that they didn't have.
Exactly, exactly. It is a great, great morning coming up on February 13th this year. And we'd like to offer you a spot at the table. If you want to make your way in, though, we need to hear why you're not looking forward to Valentine's
Day. Yeah, it's very simple. Just open up your email browser, scramble@kzia.com. Just put broken hearts in the subject line. We'd like a sentence or two about what it is specifically right now that you're still holding on to. Again, it could be a current broken heart situation. You could be remembering back to like a love lost from a summer camp that's just like, it still sits up there.
Elementary school trauma is still trauma, people. Share it with us. Get it off your chest.
Scramble@kzia.com if you would like to join us for the third annual Broken Hearts Breakfast, sponsored by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
So my idea around Christmas time when we did our favorite things Christmas gift exchange was to bring back Morning Scramble Movie Club. So I gave us each a $20 or $25 gift card from Marcus Cinemas, which if you go on Tuesdays, works out to be about a $20 movie ticket, right?
Yeah.
Because it's $8 or $6 or whatever. So Ben was the first to buy, took us all out to see Marty Supreme. We welcome producer Ben to the studio. Hello, producer
Ben.
Hello.
I find it hilarious because as we were watching the trailer yesterday and there looked to be a quick little steamy scene, I'm like, it's going to get weird.
It's going to get so weird.
We weren't 2 minutes into the movie. And there was some hugging and a kissing and more going on in the basement of the shoe store. Out of the gate.
There was some loving and some kissing.
Some loving and kissing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a perfect movie for three coworkers to go see on a Tuesday.
How do we want to break up this review? I mean, Ben picked it. Should we start with Ben's honest opinion?
Okay. Yeah, I think, Ben, you selected this movie. Mm-hmm. You knew that we kind of wanted to focus on some Oscar-nominated films. What drew you to selecting Marty Supreme?
The main thing that drew me to it was Mr. Wonderful.
Really? The guy from Shark Tank?
Yeah.
Which he has a pretty much predominant role sprinkled in from most of the movie, and then he's very active in what would be known as like the third act.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You see him
a
lot.
He has a very important role.
He plays a very wealthy businessman. So were you watching more his performance, or were you just trying to take the movie in?
I was trying to take it all in.
Okay.
I have a history of very short and simple movie reviews.
Okay.
When we went to see Top Gun, I liked it because it had airplanes.
That's right. Yes.
That's right. He is impressed by the little things. So Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, was the thing that got you to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did he deliver for you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed him?
Well, I enjoyed him being a part of the movie.
Yes.
I liked that.
What is your short and simple review?
It was a lot of chaos. And I felt like because of that, there was always like something happening nonstop. And I feel like my rating for the movie might be a little bit of a hot take, but I'm giving it a 10 out of 10.
What?
10 out of 10?
A 10 out of 10?
When I go to movies, I take my blanket, I put on slippers and sweatpants, and I'm reclined in my chair just relaxing. I'm lucky if I don't fall asleep, but this movie just always had something going on,
and it
kept my attention the entire time.
I Wow, Ben, I did not see that coming.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Claire and I, at about 2 hours in, looked at each other after, I think at that point, someone had been shot over a dog. And we're like, what is this movie?
What is this movie
about? What is this movie?
And when will it get to the point?
I was trying to describe it to somebody yesterday, and I said, the best example I can give you is it sets up like Karate Kid. He's going through all of these trials and tribulations to get to the finals.
Yes.
I want Cobra Kai to win. I hated him as a main character.
You were not rooting for Marty.
Marty Supreme was Marty D-bag. I did not want him. I hated him as a main. And then I'm like, is that what the, he's an anti-hero? Like, then I'm trying to get my head around the director and the writer. I understood all of it. It just, it did not land for me.
I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the experience of watching the movie. But I looked at you because I hit that wall of like, this movie needs to be over now. And there was still 30 more minutes.
Get this guy to Japan.
So let's get him to his big ping pong tournament and let this thing. It was just, I liked it. I thought the characters were all amazing. Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, like, oh my gosh, he looks the part. And I thought he did an excellent job. I thought he out-acted Gwyneth Paltrow, an Oscar winner.
I agree. She was like a 1930s starlet. Fran Drescher, not on screen a lot, plays the mom perfectly.
No, but
Sandra Bernhardt also plays like the neighbor mom.
Yes.
She was great.
Barely on screen, but all do such a fantastic job delivering these amazing performances. It was just a little long.
You said that you were like waiting for it to get over. And that's weird to me because usually in movies, I'm like, when is this going to be over? Like, I'm looking at the clock constantly, like, please be over. And this one, I did not feel that way at all.
To be fair, we discussed the problem ahead of time, and I did have to use the bathroom.
You did?
Yeah.
I also had use the bathroom at about 2 hours in. I'm like, I think we're around. I think we're almost done.
Knew it was going to happen.
I thought about going a couple times, but I didn't want to leave because there's always something happening.
It is interesting that as much as I really don't think I liked it, it still lingers in my brain.
You're still thinking about it.
Which is the sign of a good movie.
Yep.
Okay. My intention coming in today was to offer Ben his $10 back. But I think he liked
it.
No, Claire, would you like $10 back? I've got.
She might need it.
I've got $10.
I've got $10 right here.
Hey, I'm not going to turn away $10.
Because I feel like
Wait,
I
how
walked
much do you
guys.
Have?
What do I want? I got 20. I was going to give 10 to both of you.
All right.
All right. Marty Supreme. Ben loved it.
Wow.
Claire and I just, I couldn't cheer for it. But you were saying maybe watching it at home.
Yes. I think if
under
I had
different
been
circumstances,
at home streaming this movie, I think I would have enjoyed it more.
Ugh. All right. Next man up. You want to go?
Next man?
Yeah.
Next man is me.
Okay. Morning Scramble Movie Club. Marty Supreme off the board. More movies. We got to pick another Tuesday to go. We'll have to start looking when those movies are going to drop. Follow along as we get you closer to the Oscars. Producer Ben picks and loves Marty Supreme.
Woo!
Morning Scramble Movie Club on Z102.9.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
We are super psyched that we've got Fitz from Fitz and the Tantrums joining the Morning Scramble. Good morning.
Good morning. For us, anytime we get to play live, that's where we shine. That's where we had the most fun. And, you know, if we can bring a little smile to everybody's face or brighten somebody's day, then we've done our job, you know?
I think for a lot of people, it's like they know all of the hits, but this is the Man on the Moon tour. What can people expect from the new music that you're bringing?
Yeah, you know, we just put out the Man on the Moon album this last summer, so... You know, for me, I'm just excited to keep playing this album out in front of people because it might be my favorite album we've ever made. And I'm just excited for people to hear these songs because, I don't know, they're just really good and they're from the heart. And I just hope that that moves people in the way it did for me.
Can I dig into that just a little bit, Fitz? I saw in one of your quotes that it's not about making big radio hits. It's about enjoying it's the journey. It's the experience. Was that kind of the inspiration when you went in to write and record this?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think, you know, you guys are in radio. You know how much the world is changing, what drives a hit, what doesn't. And now it's all these crazy viral things that are, you know, making songs go huge or not. And that's kind of a Hail Mary pass that you're waiting for. And for a band that's had a lot of radio hits, you know, there was many years where there was a lot of pressure from the label, from everybody, like, where's the radio hit? I don't hear the, okay, that sounds like a radio hit. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't think anybody knows what a hit is anymore. And it was sort of a liberating moment. It was like, all right, all the rules are changing. Nobody knows quite what those rules are anymore. So screw it. I'm just going to make this vibey album that's not necessarily trying to go for smash hit. And invariably, it's tough for me to not try and write a catchy song because I love great melodies. But was definitely way more freed to sort of let the songs be a little more subtle, a little more esoteric, you know?
We have conversations about music on our show all the time, but earlier this week we were talking about sometimes it's the mistakes that kind of make a song. Like Sir Paul McCartney actually hit the wrong chord in the official Beatles recording of Hey Jude, but that made it into the final cut just because the vibe was so good and nobody noticed the little mix-up or little mistake. Was there ever a time when you guys were in the studio making something and like a mistake turned into something or it sparked something for you?
Oh, I mean, I would say that happens almost every time you're writing a song or every other time. You know, you're working in these digital recording stations and you're like flying this thing over to there or moving this thing, and sometimes you make a mistake and then all of a sudden you press play. You're like, wait, what's happening? Wait, that actually sounds amazing. Okay, that's the direction. That's what the verse is going to sound like. And if anybody says, did I mean to do that? I'm going to say, absolutely, I intended it.
Own it. That's right.
Totally intentional. I'm a genius. Yes.
I have to admit, as a kid who played saxophone all the way through college, Fitz, you guys behind James King, I still remember that show in Milwaukee. The saxophone was on stage by itself, and like he just walked up to it. There's just something about a band with a sax in it. Is that part of the inspiration of the band itself, like listening to those bands growing up, horn section versus no horn section?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially our first album had so much Motown Stax influence. You know, it was just begging for horn sections. And also, we've really tried to make as much of our music without guitar as the central focus. So then a lot of that responsibility fell to James and playing four different saxophones on stage. I mean, that guy, when I say he's a multi-instrumentalist, I mean, his setup on the stage is pretty crazy looking these days. But I love the texture. I love the sound of that. It brings me back to my childhood days of driving around, listening to the oldies station, singing along to Motown hits. And it's just become part of our identity, you know. And I think it's really interesting to walk on stage and see a band and there's no guitars there. I mean, one comes in every once in a while, but for the most part, there's no guitar on stage and we create a pretty big sound without it.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising and very unique.
That's awesome. Yeah, for sure.
You guys have been together for almost two decades. I mean, you've had some staying power as a band. What does it take to function as a unit like that? I mean, there's got to be a lot of give and take, I would imagine.
Oh, I mean, this is year 18, maybe, I think. 18, 19, I can never keep track anymore. But, you know, it takes a lot of commitment, a lot of patience, and a good therapist. No, I'm kidding and not. But, you know, being in a band is like a marriage, you know. And there's been many years, especially when we're on record cycle, where we're spending more time together than we are with our own families. And so, you know, 18 years in, we've had our ups and downs as a band. We've had every fight you can imagine, every hug it out session you could imagine. And the great thing now, 18 years in, is that all that stuff has already been settled. All of the tensions are kind of gone. We're just so psyched to be playing and still getting to do this as a career. But it takes commitment, and you got to work on it and got to work. It's a communal moment, you know, and you have to work together, and it pushes you to really strive for that.
And what I love hearing that is that applies to any sort of group dynamic, right? That's a great answer. If you weren't in a band, it's like, how does my team get along better at work?
Yeah.
How does our morning show function better, which is great as well.
Okay, you guys have been on the road quite some, you know, on and off quite some time. You are probably pretty experienced traveling and staying in hotel rooms. So I got to bring you into a little conversation, I would say debate, that we are having on our show. And is that question is it okay to take toilet paper when you're staying at a hotel? You know, it's okay to take shampoo and conditioner, but do you take like an extra roll of toilet paper?
Like, do you steal it from the room, that extra one they always put in the bathroom?
I mean, I don't personally, but I hold no judgment against somebody else for wanting to have a clean tush out on the road, okay. You know?
That's a fair answer.
Okay, that was very fair. Yes. Producer Ben gets a pass from Fitz.
Fair enough. What a way to wrap up.
Don't worry, I'm quietly judging.
Okay, thank you. Me too.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.